Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Greetings and welcome back to The Commentary series and our study of the Way of Perfection by the great Carmelite mystic, St. Teresa of Avila. I'm Father Reed, a diocesan priest and secular Carmelite from Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's my joy to be with you once again. Today is day 19, and we're quickly nearing the end of our book, as today we dive into chapters 40 and 41. Now, last time, with chapter 38, St. Teresa began her discussion of the final petition of the Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." In this chapter, Teresa speaks of how demons can harm us in subtle ways, especially by making us believe that we have virtues which we do not really possess. She also reminds us that our virtues are something that we have received from God, and He can take them away. While we must pray and strive to practice the virtues if we wish to obtain them, they are given to us by God's grace, and He can take them away as He wishes. And so we must be humbly skeptical of our own virtue. And then in chapter 39, St. Teresa goes into detail about some other ploys of the devil to distract us and rob us of the graces we should be obtaining in prayer. In both chapters from last time, Teresa encourages us toward humility as a means of avoiding the snares and deceptions of the evil one. And now, that St. Teresa has devoted a couple of chapters on exposing the snares and temptations of the devil, in chapter 40, she's ready to give us two weapons for spiritual warfare: the love of the Lord and the fear of the Lord. Teresa says in the first paragraph, "Love will quicken your footsteps, and fear will make you look where you set your foot down, lest you should trip against the many stumbling blocks on that road by which all men must pass in this life." And in the second paragraph, our saint shows us how we can know if we possess these twin weapons. Indeed, at the top of page 246, St. Teresa writes, "The love and fear of God need not advertise themselves. They are two strong fortresses from whence war is waged on the world and the devils. The soul that truly loves God loves all good, seeks all good, protects all good, praises all good, joins itself to good men, helps and defends them, and embraces all the virtues. It only loves what is true and worth loving." Wow. Now, this passage, in my mind, is reminiscent of St. Paul's famous passage from 1 Corinthians 13. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." In writing, as she does, Teresa, like St. Paul, teaches us that love is not so much a feeling, but an act of the will that proves itself by its deeds. That's why she says it's self-evident. She goes on to say that authentic love for God cannot care for vanities, riches, or worldly things, pleasures, or honors. It cannot abide quarrelsomeness or envy. Rather, the soul that truly loves God longs only to please Him better. Like St. Paul or St. Mary Magdalene, this soul cannot hide its love, for love shows itself according to its strength. And if it is strong, it appears all the more clearly. So the love that contemplatives bear for God must necessarily shine brightly. For love of God is a fruit of prayer. Being raised to the heights of contemplative prayer leads one to loving God fervently. And this love cannot possibly be hidden. For as Teresa states in the third paragraph, a large fire throws a bright and clear flame. If one finds himself wanting in love, Teresa counsels fervent prayer, humility, and asking God to lead them not into temptation. And she says if one feels both the love and fear of God, then Teresa says to be happy and at peace. But she warns us in paragraph 4 that the devil will try to disturb our peace and prevent us from enjoying these great graces. The evil one will try to keep us from praying and devoting ourselves to God. And there's two ways he does this. First, the evil one will frighten those who listen to him from practicing prayer by making them dread deception. Secondly, she says, he deters many others from devoting themselves to God as they were inclined to do when witnessing the immense goodness which leads him to communicate himself so fully to sinners. In other words, the devil makes us doubt that God would really communicate himself so generously with sinners. In paragraph 6, Teresa continues to explain how a true love for God simply cannot be concealed. For if it is impossible for someone to hide their love for some other person who is a sinner, how can we possibly hide our love for God who never gives us any reason not to love him? She writes on page 249, what a vast contrast between the one love and the other must be felt by the soul that has tried them both. Indeed, loving another human can never rival the joy of loving God. Teresa continues, what a boon it will be at the hour of our death, when we are going where we know not where, to think that we are to be judged by him whom we have loved above all things, with an ardor that has crushed self-love. In writing this, our saint gives us such great encouragement to follow the greatest of all commandments, to love God with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. For if we can practice this commandment well in this life, we shall not fear our judgment, but rather look forward to it. As I often preach to my parishioners, Judgment Day doesn't have to be a bad day. It can be the very best day of all, provided that we have loved God well in this life. And in paragraph 8, St. Teresa reminds us too of the horrors of hell. So she writes on page 250, let us not look for luxuries, daughters. We are well enough off here. It is only one night and a bad end, thank God. Let us force ourselves to do penance in this life. How sweet death will be to her who has expiated all her sins and who needs no purgatory. What I love here is the practicality and encouragement of St. Teresa. The truth of the matter is that we all must face God someday. And if we follow the advice of St. Teresa, the meeting will go all the better. Moreover, we would be wise to do all we can in this life to avoid any punishment after death, even purgatory. You know, Teresa's concern for souls is so evident here. And her words remind us not only to take care of our own souls, but that we should pray for the conversion of sinners so as to prevent as many souls as possible from being lost to the fires of hell. Now, let's move on to chapter 41, in which Teresa is going to talk more about the fear of the Lord and guarding ourselves against even venial sins. St. Teresa begins this chapter with a prayer that God not allow her to die until she loves nothing but him. For as she explains to her readers, the love for the world brings its own punishment with it. And in paragraph 2, she takes up the topic of the fear of God, telling us that the fear of God is easily recognized by its possessor and those around her. She states that the fear of God, along with the love of God, are more plainly seen as they attain perfection. Although the former virtue, the fear of God, may soon be detected because whoever owns it forsakes sin and its occasions and gives up bad company. Indeed, when one reaches contemplation, one's love and fear of God are evident in one's outward behavior. And the saint explains that these persons never become careless and they will not willingly commit a venial sin. And mortal sins they dread like fire. So Teresa strongly encourages her nuns to fear sin and to pray that God will give them the strength to overcome temptations. This fear of sin is something she wants her nuns to always have, and so should we. As she moves into paragraph 3, Saint Teresa explains that by avoiding sin, we help to keep the minions and slaves of hell at bay so that they cannot harm us. They may tempt us and try to entrap us in their snares, but this isn't all bad because we will grow in merit when we overcome the temptation. Then she says in the middle of page 253, you must also be extremely vigilant about venial faults, so that you would rather suffer persecution from the whole human race than fall into this offense. I am speaking about misdeeds that are committed with full consent and are deliberate. So do we ever consider our attitude toward venial sin? While all of us understand how terrible mortal sin is and probably strive to avoid it, are we as vigilant with our venial sins? The issue here for Teresa really gets down to understanding how offensive to God even our venial sins are. As she says toward the bottom of page 253, I cannot think how we could dare to set ourselves against so great a sovereign in however small a matter, though no offense against such majesty can be called small. So in paragraph 4, Teresa writes, if you wish to gain this fear, it is important for you constantly to bear in mind how heinous a thing it is to offend God. Now it's a heinous thing to offend God because He is all good, all knowing, all powerful, all loving, all perfect. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our Creator and our Redeemer. We owe all that we have and are to Him, and we depend on Him for everything. If we are saved for eternity, it will be because of Him. So in Teresa's mind, considering this incredible debt we owe our Lord, how could we ever deliberately offend Him? To do so is spiritual suicide. Of course, the fear of the Lord takes some time to cultivate. Yet if we love God as we should, God will give us this fear. When God sees our firm resolution not to commit even a venial sin, He soon gives us this gift. And this gift, the fear of the Lord, is not a servile fear like a slave has for his master. It's a loving reverence and awe before God. In fact, it's one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that is sealed within us at our confirmation. And as we grow in the fear of God and form good habits, Teresa says that we may begin acting with a holy liberty. Indeed, Teresa says that people who were once a spiritual danger for us may become those with whom we want to associate, because we will see in the contrast between them and us how God has delivered us from evil, making us more loving of God and more grateful to Him. Paragraph 6 and the footnote on the bottom of page 255 are worth reflecting on. For here Saint Teresa teaches us, a virtuous person often tames the bad behavior of others simply by their presence and without even saying a thing. In other words, virtue can bring about a certain respectfulness. If our virtue is evident to others, it can help raise the bar of behavior for others. And yet Teresa cautions that we mustn't allow ourselves to be overly rigid in conduct, and she gives us some good reasons. She writes, "Do not be too rigid in conduct, for the soul to grow timorous will be a great hindrance in every way, and may sometimes lead to scruples, which cripple it both and as regards itself and others." So in other words, if we are too rigid in our behavior, we will not draw others to God, for such constraint is frightening and oppressive to others, and they won't want to imitate us. Another drawback of being too rigid, Teresa says, is that we could become judgmental of others who are more joyful and free in their speech. Yet another disadvantage of rigidity, Teresa states, is that we may fail to say something we should for the good of another. So in paragraph 8, Teresa writes, "As far as you can, without offending God, try to be genial and to behave in such a way with those you have to deal with that they may take pleasure in your conversation and may wish to imitate your life and manners instead of being frightened and deterred from virtue." The point here is that authentic holiness should be attractive. I think of how Herod, sinner though he was, still enjoyed listening to St. John the Baptist. And this is because the human heart is attuned to truth, goodness, and beauty. When we behold truth, goodness, and beauty, we are given a glimpse of God, who has made us for himself. And even a twisted soul like Herod could be attracted by the truth, goodness, and beauty being emitted by St. John the Baptist. So we should strive to be sociable and pleasing to those around us, giving them reason to desire our company so that we can be a good influence on them. Of course, as footnote 8 at the bottom of page 257 explains, St. Teresa was the very embodiment of gracious sociability and affability. People loved being in her presence because of this, and they benefited greatly by her example. In paragraph 9, our saint tells us that God is not as concerned with trifling matters as we may think, and that we shouldn't allow trifling matters to disturb us. Rather, it's more important that we keep a pure intention and a firm resolve not to offend God. Thus, Teresa finishes this chapter by stating, "With these two things, the love and fear of God, we can travel peacefully along the way of perfection. Yet we must never grow careless, for we're never perfectly safe in this life. Yet, knowing that we dwell amidst such uncertainty and are beset by many temptations and dangers, our Lord, in his pity for us, has taught us to pray for deliverance from evil." So that brings us to the end of day 19 in our study of the way of perfection. I'm so glad you're listening. And I very much hope you're enjoying these podcasts and that they're helping you with your prayer life. Thank you for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll pick up at chapter 42. And to finish, let's pray the famous prayer of St. Teresa. "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices." May God bless you, and may St. Teresa intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.